Oh, I'm totally doing it. I'm doing the thing. So, Nick, will you look? Yes, this is Quinn Scarlett Ouellette. Yes, and she was born a couple days ago. It's a little fuzzy. I think it was a couple days ago. Anyway, she was born this week. So congratulations to Brian and Emily. They are home recovering, and she is perfection. Of course she is. So you may notice it looks a little different up here today. Mark and I are here. Every instrumentalist we know is either sick or gone. So, we're not going to give you a private concert because we love you. So it's going to be just a little bit different today. Nick helped us embed some just lyric videos into the slideshow, so we're just going to kind of sing along, if that works for you. Okay. God, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much for our opportunity to be here. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your provision, for your power, for your presence with us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to all generations, God. We just thank you so much. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's do it. You can stand. Let's stand. Let's do this.
Lost us saved by their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound. Find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. Fatherless, find their rest at the sound. Sick of you and the dead are raised.
Beautiful, beautiful. The powerful, wonderful name of Jesus.
Stop working, even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop.
Chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Amen. Amen.
Love that anyone could ever trust in you.
Thank you for the power of your name. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your faithfulness. Until grace amazing takes us home, we trust in you. God, let us declare that. Let us walk in it. Let us know it. Let us lean into it, to trust you in humility, to come before you. Let you make whatever change needs to be made in our hearts and our lives. Our minds, our spirit. God, we give it all. We give it all to you. Thank you, Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave his life for us, and our measure.
things to you this morning. May it be the prayer and the posture of our heart to turn our eyes to you, to behold you in your truth, in your faithfulness, in your love, in your justice. God, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy, new every morning. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
I did forget part of the announcement because I was super excited because I don't, have you seen, she's pretty cute, that baby.
Well, I guess, okay. Maybe.
Baby's pretty good.
I don't care, but whatever.
I know, you're pretty, yeah.
I'm immune.
So Elisha Turner is putting together organizing meals for Brian and Emily. She's got a little calendar. So if you want to go talk to her, if you want to be part of that, you're welcome to do that. So I forgot that part of it. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. So that's a little different. It's been a while since I've stood up there with nothing in my hands. I'm used to having an instrument in my hands, and that's very weird. And you didn't want me just playing bass today. That would have been a train wreck. So I'm glad we had this option. It's a little different, but that's why we really value our instrumentalists, and we miss them when they're not here. When they're all part of one family or, you know, are out in the bush, it's kind of hard to not have some backup. So keep praying for that. We would love to have more musicians and singers, and so that's always a need for us. So well, we thank you that you guys are here. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. There's a few more of you than last week, and last week was awesome. We had a good time. Some of you are back from hunting. So you had a good time, Doug, hunting. And got your grandson on one. Did you get your clients on ones too?
Yep. Bear wolf.
Bear wolf. Awesome. Good deal. So they were happy?
They were happy.
It's always good to have happy clients, right? Good, good. Well, it's good. We'll continue to collect more people as the summer wanes down, I'm sure. Cold weather seems to drive people to church. I don't know why it is, but it's been a great summer. You guys had a good summer?
Yes.
For the most part. I know some of you have been sick off and on, but it was short. Yeah, I know. It was short, wasn't it? I know. It was like we were driving. It was beautiful. All the leaves were green, and then 2 days later, they're starting to turn. Like, that was fast, and then we had snow, like, this week. It's like, that's really early. I don't remember having snow this early in a long time. Have we had, Doug, when's the last time we had snow in September? It's been a long time. I mean, I know it wasn't a lot. It was didn't hardly even stick on the ground, but still, there was still snow in the air. It was really weird. But we are in Philippians this morning still. And I don't know. I mean, I'm always excited to speak and to preach and to see what God would have to say to us this morning. And this week was no different. I did something a little different this week. Instead of sitting in my office praying, I went over to Band of Brothers, which is a little coffee shop down the road. I'm not trying to plug their business, but at the same time, it's a great place to go and hang out if you haven't been. It's over by Fire Dance. They're not paying me to do this, by the way. I'm just saying it's a really cool place to go hang out. And I love they set it up as from 7 to 11 in the morning, they set it up just for men to come in and mentor other men. It's a beautiful thing. And now a woman can come in and get coffee, and she won't get kicked out, but it's specifically for men to mentor men. And it's really a cool situation. Then after that, it's open to anybody. And it's a really cool, awesome place to go and study and read and just fellowship with other guys. And I had the little guy that does all the coffee there. We've gotten to be pretty good friends over the time that I've been going there. And this week when I walked in, he goes, I'm asking this question of everybody there, and doesn't really have to go with the message necessarily, but just this idea of where we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's like, I'm asking everybody that comes in this question. He goes, what are your, I can't remember all of the questions he asked, but one of the questions he asked was like, where are you, what's your idea and what's your anticipation of eternity? I was like, well, that's a good question. Right, we can get caught, we can get all really wrapped up in how the world our world is, and we're all wanting God to come back. You know, even so, Lord, come quickly, right? Everybody starts saying that, and that's been said for generations, by the way. That's not just in the current climate. But it's like, where are you eternity-wise? Are you wanting to go? Are you wanting to stay? I was like, well, that's a really good question. I said, part of me really wants to go home. I'm looking forward to going home for a lot of reasons. But I'm also looking forward to staying where I am right now. Because, Father, I believe Father has a call on all of our lives to live out the lives we're living here and now. Because doesn't Scripture say, like, you know, when I come, I hope I find someone that are faithful. Right? So, yes, I want to go home, but if that's all my focus is, and I'm not focused on what's going on right here in front of me day in, day out, I'm kind of missing out what Father would have in store for me. And I think that's true for all of us as believers this morning. So, as I was thinking about that and thinking about where Father has having us go this morning, there's just this question that Father brought to me personally, and he always processes his word through me personally before I can deliver it with any kind of articulation to you all. And here's the question he put before me this week. He says, "Son, where is your heart and your soul's desire? Where is your heart and your soul's desire? Who or what are they for? What is your heart's desire? What is it for? Who is it for? Is it wrapped up in things and other people? Or is it wrapped up in who I am?" And that question really, I've been thinking about that all week. And as I got into the Word and was studying this morning, we're going to jump into here in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Last week we were talking about all the things that who Paul was, and we were talking about circumcision and of the heart other than just of the flesh. And we come down to verse 8, and he said, his Paul speaking, he says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." That phrase, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The surpassing worth. Do we count everything as loss compared to knowing Christ? There's a question for you to answer. Do we count everything as loss compared to knowing Christ? And what does the surpassing worth look like? And when we really think about the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, what does that look like for you? What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus Christ this morning that it's of surpassing worth? It's the most valuable thing in your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ above all things. Is that where you operate this morning? And trust me, all these questions I had to sit in this week. And what have we suffered the loss of and then said, "It was worth it"? I don't know about you, but when I suffer loss of any kind, I tend to whine, gripe, and complain, go, "Why me, God?" Right? And some of the loss that we have suffered is a genuine comment, right? Some of us have sustained significant loss, real loss. Loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, loss of careers, loss of material things that are intrinsically have some value attached to them. But have we ever got to that point? Are we in this? I mean, it's a different mindset to be in this place and not minimizing those losses, not again, well, it's not a big deal. But right, but is it to this place where it was worth it? It was worth it compared to my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a different kind of mindset. And as I was thinking about that this week, again, this comes back to that verse that said, "And be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? It's an everyday thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's not like I've got this figured out. And do we count everything we have as rubbish compared to gaining Christ? Is he worth everything? I get they're big questions. And we're going to look at quite a bit of scripture this morning, but backing up who Jesus is. And we're going to read a lot of it, but I encourage you to go back and read it for yourself and mine, the riches of what Father's Word would have to say to you about who His Son is, to you, personally. And some of us have been walking with God a long time. We've had a relationship with Jesus Christ for a long time. And as I was poring over His Word this week, it was just like, man, I mean, I know this, but it's just on another level. Right? This idea of like, that He is everything. And if you go back to Isaiah chapter 52, we're not going to read it out. I'm going to tell you where it starts, and then we'll read into it. But if you go back to Isaiah chapter 52, starting in verse 13, we're not going to read through all this. But if you start in verse 13 and go through chapter 53, it kind of tells you just a little bit about what Jesus did for you. All right? And I encourage you to go back and read through all that for yourself. But we're going to pick it up here in Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercessions for the transgressors. If that's not enough to say Jesus is of surpassing worth. And there's so much more before that. Right? The fact that Jesus took everything for us, that he bore our iniquities, that he was poured out to death, that he was numbered with the transgressors, that he bore our sins, and that he intercedes on our behalf even now, this morning, right now. Is he not of surpassing worth? Should he not be the sole focus of our desire? Jeremiah chapter 9. Yeah, I can find it. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What do we need to understand? We need to understand and know that we understand and we know him. That he practices love, justice, steadfast love. That's the key. Steadfast love, justice, and righteousness to the earth. Steadfast love. These are the things we have access to. If we drop over to verse 1 and 2 of chapter 10 of Jeremiah, it says, hear the word of the Lord, hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the ways of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vanity. How often do we see people tying into what's going on in the world right now? They're learning the ways of the world. They're dismayed by the things that are going on. Why? Because they've gotten their eyes focused on the wrong things. When the church forgets who they are and they don't believe this relationship that they have with Jesus Christ, and they're like, man, he is everything to me and everything else is worthless in comparison. And that's including the people we love a lot. I love this woman right here more than anybody else on the planet. This is my wife, by the way, for those who don't know. I love her beyond all things, but when I get my relationship skewed and I love her more than God, it's out of balance. Right? When my whole focus is on her and nothing else, and my relationship with God kind of deteriorates because all my focus is on who she is, which is a good thing, but not when it gets out of balance. And I guarantee you, she doesn't want a husband that loves God, loves her more than God. Because the things, the customs of the world are vanity. They're worthless. They don't have any power. It looks like they have power, but they have none whatsoever. And I know it's because of who God is. So drop down in the same chapter, Jeremiah 10, starting in verse 11. Oh, man, I love this. Thus shall you say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the earth. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. And he makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings forth the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. I know a lot of people don't like that word. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is he who is a portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things, and Israel is a tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Why would we want the world's vanity? Why would we want the world's wisdom? Why would we want to buy into the world custom when we have access and we can have a relationship with the one who speaks things into existence? Why would we want anything else than the one who utters a voice in the tumult of the waters in heaven? And he makes mist rise, he makes lightning for the rain, and he brings wind from his storehouses. And there's lots of other scripture that tells what he's created. Compared to that, everything is worthless. It's not worth even mentioning. But yet so often we get so caught up and we count so many other things more valuable than having this relationship, than knowing Jesus Christ. And then in John chapter 17, if you haven't read through it in a while, I encourage you to go back and read through John 17. I love, this is Jesus' prayer. We have a lot of things in the Word. It's like, man, preachers talk about it a lot. Oh, I wish I had Jesus' notes when he preached such and such a message, right? We have snippets of it. But I know people, they would turn it into some religious document and it would become a thing that didn't need to be what it needed to be, instead of just letting it be a true, just beautiful words of God. But here in 17, we have the high priestly prayer. I'm just going to read a couple verses of it. But I encourage you to read through it, because there's a verse in here that talks about how he prays for us. Like you sitting here in this room this morning, he prayed for you when he prayed this prayer. When I realized that years ago, it just really messed up my head, right? Because it's easy to put Jesus in a time, thousands of years ago, instead of this present, and when he was here physically on earth, that he prayed for you. But that's not where we're going this morning. But I just want to just keep that in your head. Verse verse 1 of chapter 17 of John, then Jesus has, when Jesus had spoke these words, he lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Did you catch that? Jesus had all authority over all flesh to give eternal life. And I love how he simplified everything, and this is eternal life, that they know you and they know me. That they know God the Father and they know God the Son. That's eternal life. And know not just a head knowledge, not just like know about Jesus and I know about God, but I have a living, vibrant, growing, deepening every single day relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the kind of relationship when you pick up his word and you read words you've read countless times before and you see something brand new. How is that possible? It's the same words. And that can happen from one day to another. It doesn't have to be months and years in between. I've been many times when I've been studying, I read through something, and it's like, how did I not see that before? I've been reading this for 20 minutes or an hour, however long it's been. It's because it's a living document. I love reading books over and over again, but I know where the storyline's going. It doesn't change. Right? But when I read God's word, it doesn't change how I perceive it, and what Father downloads to me in that moment changes because he wants to reveal something new about his word. That's an amazing thing. But so often we disconnect ourselves from this love letter that he's given us. We don't count it very valuable. I go, I don't really need to read that to have a relationship. Oh, yeah, you do. The fact that he has all authority, he still has. And because of what he has done on the cross, we have access to eternal life. I was talking to somebody recently about that, this sense of eternity, how it's kind of messing them up. They don't know what to do with eternity. Like, that's forever. I'm like, right, but you're trying to think with a mortal mind something that's eternal. Right? So I think part of our new body is going to be able to have the capacity to understand eternity. And maybe not understand it, but at least be able to comprehend, you know, on some level be able to deal with it. Right? Because time for us is such a small thing. We think in times of minutes and hours and months and years. And God is outside that. This is an exciting thing of, like, again, coming back to this place like Paul was at, where it's like, man, everything I count as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So the things that we have suffered up to this point, and the things that we will suffer in the future, again, not minimizing those moments that are hard and those moments that are tragic and those moments that just rip our hearts out. I'm not saying we should just like, oh, it's not a big deal. But when we bring those things before Christ and we bring them to the foot of the cross, and we have those moments where we crawl up in Father's lap and we just let it all hang out, and he wraps us up in his arms and says, I got you. That's worth it. Because see, there's people in the world today who don't have that ability. They have the ability, but they haven't chose to access it. There's people in our world today that are living the same kind of lives we are living and having the same kind of traumas and the same kind of losses and the same kind of things happening to them, and they have no recourse. They have no understanding that there's somebody that loves them that can take that weight off their shoulders and off their heart and their mind and give them something new and beautiful. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers by the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, then they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is short-sighted, that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. And man, I can't tell you how many times in my life that when I've gotten into this place of getting out of step with who Jesus is, and it's become, when I really boil it all down to, it's because I've forgotten that I was cleansed from my former sins. And I've been listening to the enemy talk to me, because he wants to talk to you. He really does. But I don't have to listen. But when I've forgotten who I am, when I've forgotten what I have access to, when I've forgotten that I have access to this divine power, because that's what it says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Man, if that doesn't wind you up, I don't know. He has granted to us his precious and very great promises. That's what's been granted to us. That's what, when Paul's talking about this, he's like, this is what he's talking about. We say the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. I don't know if he's thinking about all these things we looked at this morning, but I'm saying those are a few things. This book is full of beautiful things that he has given to us. Yeah, I think too often we forget. I don't know why we forget, but we do. We need to be reminded over and over and over again who we are, the worth we have, the value we have, the power we have, the access we have to this divine, amazing power. And we walk around thinking we're as weak as my newborn granddaughter is. She can't do anything for herself. We think we're that weak, but we're not. That's probably why I love that stage. Because it reminds me that's who I am. I can't do anything outside of the power of my God. And at all times, he has me wrapped up as tight as I had my granddaughter wrapped up the last couple days. I'm not taking anything away from her daddy, because her daddy calms her down really, really good, and she's not that wound up, which is nice for them. anyway. But it's something to have a little one just wrapped up with her face against her face, and that skin was like nothing else. She's not the same as my daughter. My daughter's different. But my daughter is part of her. It It takes me back to all those moments. The first time I held my sons. First time I held my grandson. It doesn't change. It shouldn't get old hat. It should be like, it shouldn't blow your mind every single time you hold this newborn, the smell of them. The phrase that goes through my mind when I smell a newborn baby. It's the smell of heaven. That's just my thoughts. It's not accurate. I'm just saying. But you probably all heard the story. I don't know if it's true or not. I can believe it. Could be. Little boy, wasn't very old. He's talking. His parents heard him on the monitor talking to his newborn baby sister, brother, can't remember what it was. The little boy was asking his sibling, newborn sibling, tell me what heaven's like. Because I'm forgetting. Don't know if it's true. I'm just saying. Do I believe babies come from heaven? I don't know how that all works. I don't think they're all stacked up there waiting to come, right? That's not like the Boss Baby movie. But they are created by Father. We know that. We know that He creates them in the mother's womb at the time of conception. The surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ should absolutely radically change how we operate in this world. That knowledge and that experience with Jesus Christ in our life should absolutely get on everyone around us. So where is your heart, soul, desires this morning? Who and what are they for? Father God, this morning I pray that this morning right now in this room, Father, with those here in this room physically and those that are online, Father, I pray that you would just have that conversation with us. Where is our desires? Is it for you, our living God? Is it for you, our Savior? Is it for you, Holy Spirit, that teaches us all things and reminds us? Are we caught up in the vanity of the world? Are we caught up in the fear? Are we caught up in the uncertainties? Are we caught up in whatever it is? Or is it in the surpassing relationship with you, the surpassing worth of knowing you and having everything else just be worthless in comparison? Father God, as we go home this morning, as we go on with the rest of our week, Father, I pray that that question just reverberates in our minds and our hearts and our souls, that you just won't let it go. And that we don't want to go, that we want to just continue to dive into more and more of who you are and have a better understanding and a better relationship and a better knowledge and a better way to impact the world around us with amazing, great, good news that you are their Father, that you can be their Father, that you created them even if they never loved you. You will always, that you created them so specifically. They have worth and value and purpose. But Father, we have to believe that first before we can even begin to talk about it. Father, we are beyond grateful that we have the ability to have a relationship like this with you. That we have access 24/7 all the time into your throne room. Not because we intrinsically have any value, but because of who Jesus Christ is inside of us, because his blood covers everything, and you see through that blood, and you see us perfect and whole. Father, may we live in that place of divine power that has been granted to each one of us. And we thank you for your steadfast love that will never change, never diminish. And we thank you for all these things because of Jesus Christ and his precious blood over our lives.